Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to study about the beauty of Esther. In the book of Esther, which is in the Old Testament of your Bible, before Job and then before Psalms, we find that King Ahasuerus was married to a queen named Vashti. Vashti did not respond to a request of the king, and so she was deposed. And then the officers of the king went throughout all the provinces of his kingdom to find a fair virgin to be the new queen. Esther, it turns out, is that virgin who became the queen in place of Vashti, and there are numerous things about her character that are worthy of study. We're going to look at five of them today, five aspects of her character. And what we want to notice is this: in her character is where we find her beauty. In her character is where we find the beauty of Esther the queen. Not so much in her outward appearance. And that's what's important for us to understand today. First of all, we see the beauty of Esther's virginity. In Esther chapter 2, when Vashti was deposed, verse 2 says, "Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king." Esther 2:2. Jump ahead a little bit and look at verse 7. He brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Mordecai is Esther's first cousin, but he's obviously older than she is, because he raises her as his own daughter. Notice in verse 7 of Esther chapter 2 that she was fair and beautiful. And I believe that had something to do, obviously, with her outward appearance. However, there are other things about her that distinguish her as a very beautiful woman. And so what we're concentrating on today is the beauty of her character. And the first aspect of that beauty is Esther's virginity. Her virginity is what qualified her to be considered for the position of queen. You see, today it's not popular. And so it's more rare or rarer to find women who marry that have maintained their virginity. And part of the reason is the popularity of female figures who have disclosed something about their teenage years. For instance, in a television interview with the Kardashian sisters, they revealed that they had lost their virginity in their mid-teens. And the way that the interviewer handled it, she handled it as if that were a trendy, popular thing to do. In other words, that if you want to be like the Kardashian sisters, what you'll do is that when you're 14 or 15 or 16, you will lose your virginity. But based on what we see in the life of Esther, You know what I say to you? Don't follow that trend. Don't follow that trend. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is writing about his relationship with the church of God. And that's what we're in when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now he's talking about the church. And the jealousy that he has here is a godly jealousy. It is a jealousy that prompts him to protect the church. And he says that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I fear that in the modern church there is probably not much attention paid to the character of women who maintain their virginity. In other words, there's just not a lot said about it one way or the other. And with so much attention on the flesh in modern Christianity, my concern is that women are just as promiscuous in the church today as they are in the world, because so much of the world has crept into the church. And so I hold Esther up to you as the model, as the example, as the person to follow, as the person to emulate, as the person to be like, and not the popular female figures of television and acting and music and other, you know, places where they can be popularized, magazines, whatever. Don't get trendy with the world. Listen, there is beauty in the character of a woman who will reserve herself like the church should be for Christ as a virgin for her husband, and a man likewise who would do the same thing. We're preaching primarily to women today based on the life of Esther. So first of all, in her character, we find the beauty of her virginity. Secondly, we see the beauty of Esther's submissiveness, her submissiveness. In Esther chapter 2, in verse 10, the Bible says that Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Esther was a Jew, and Mordecai was concerned that if the king knew that she was a Jew, he might refuse her, though it might have been God's will for her to be the queen, because of some prejudice toward Jewish people. In verse 20 of Esther chapter 2, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. So Esther was a submissive woman. She followed Mordecai as if Mordecai was her father and obeyed him all the way through, even when she had been chosen as a candidate to be the queen, and even when the king had chosen her to be queen. She was submissive to him. She was submissive to the king as well, as you will see later when she comes to defeat the decree of Haman. Now, submissiveness is also not a popular and trendy character trait of women today. With so much attention paid to women in roles similar to men, there is a strong move, and has been for decades, to take away this submissiveness of women in marriage and in relationships with men. But that's so contrary to the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." That conversation there is not just what she says, but also how she behaves. "While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear." See, it's something you can behold, not just something you hear. Now watch it, verse 3, "whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Now here is a woman in the case of a marriage with a husband who is not obedient to the word, and she wants him to come around. Well, Peter says, win him, not with a boisterous conversation, or not with your physical beauty by adorning your hair and wearing gold and putting on that certain kind of apparel that would enhance your beauty, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, this submissive woman in 1 Peter chapter 3 is adorned with the hidden man of the heart. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is certainly more beautiful than the most beautiful woman who has ever lived. Yet his beauty in you is seen when you are in subjection. You see, in Esther 1:11, the trouble with Vashti was that she was not in subjection to her husband. Vashti, the former queen, was to be brought before the king's guests to display her outward beauty. But her failure to be submissive caused her to be deposed as queen. Now, I would say to you, Esther was more beautiful in her submissiveness than Vashti in her beauty. You see, there's something about the Bible and the work of Jesus Christ, the work of the Spirit of God. And when a woman can display the hidden man of the heart through her beauty without enhancing her beauty, then let me tell you something. That beauty, as you see represented in the life of Esther, is one that brings a woman to the top. Esther is the one that was chosen as the queen over all those other virgins that had been selected. And you have to know that many of those were fair and very beautiful. But the uniqueness of the submissiveness of Esther won her the heart of the king. In Esther, we see the beauty of her virginity, we see the beauty of her submissiveness, and we also see the beauty of her modesty. In Esther chapter 2, verse 15, "When the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her." Now notice, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. In other words, whenever it came the time of a woman to be able to go in to see the king, she could go in with whatsoever she desired. Verse 13 of Esther chapter 2 says, "Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house." So she could enhance her beauty to whatever degree she desired. And the Bible says Esther required nothing to enhance her beauty when she was brought before the king. In other words, her beauty was a modest beauty. She was modest. You say, what is that? Modesty is simply going with what God has given you and not exposing it to the world, but rather reserving it for God and your husband. And today what happens is with the way hair and makeup and dresses and jewelry and all that other stuff are used, they are to maximize the beauty of the appearance. But what is that? Many times it becomes immodest because it is basically an attempt to add something or to expose something in order to catch the eye of other people, particularly men. Now, Esther obtained grace and favor of the king when she came simply with nothing. I mean, in other words, just the dress that she had. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. You see in verse 17 of Esther chapter 2, the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. She obtained grace and favor. Immodesty is taking it, what do you want to say, to for the purpose. Taking your natural beauty and then doing something with it in order to enhance it or expose it with the purpose, with the intention of catching the eye of others. And Esther didn't do that. But today, that seems to be a very popular trend with women, and it's popularized by what you find in magazines, televisions, advertising, billboards, all the other thing, which really turns out to be an exploitation. And what I say to you, based upon Esther, is you're missing an opportunity to display a beauty of your character in your modesty, okay, that the world know nothing about at all, because the world sees a woman's beauty as something that is outward. And Esther shows you something that's more than that. In Esther's character, we find the beauty of her virginity, of her submissiveness, of her modesty, and of this, of her fear. Of her fear. Jumping ahead, there is a decree that is given by Haman. The decree is to kill all of the Jews, obviously. Then, Esther being a Jew, when it was discovered that she was a Jew, would be killed. Mordecai pleads with Esther to approach the king in order that this decree could be lifted or defended. Esther said, I can't go into him. There's a law. He'll put me to death if he doesn't lower or hold out the golden scepter. And Mordecai pleads with her and tells her, you're not going to escape in the king's house. Now watch. In Esther chapter 4, verse 13, Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Notice what she said. We're going to fast. I'm going to the king, which is not according to the law. However, if I perish, I perish. In other words, she put her life on the line. But you know what? She feared the Lord. The king's commandment she feared. And you're supposed to honor the king, the Bible says. But it also says fear God. And in this case, she feared the Lord. She put her own life at risk to save a nation. And I want to tell you something. I believe that the spiritual beauty of a woman who fears the Lord is greater than the physical beauty of a woman who doesn't. And I tell you that from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Now, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, the Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let me tell you something. Undoubtedly, in all the history of the Bible, there were many beautiful women physically in their outward appearance. But look in your Bible. There is an entire book dedicated to what happened in Ahasuerus' kingdom for the sake of the Jews. And the name of the book is not Mordecai. And the name of the book is not King Ahasuerus. The name of the book is Esther. And I believe it's that way because she feared the Lord. Proverbs 31:30 and Esther chapter 4 verses 13 to 16 show you that Esther's fear brought her more praise than vain beauty. As you can see from the things we're talking about today, the world does not popularize any of these things that we're talking about in the character of a woman. The world does not hold these as desirable character traits. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible does. And godly men do. And godly congregations do. In the character of Esther, we find the beauty of her virginity, her submissiveness, her modesty, and her fear of God. But that's not all. In the beauty of Esther, we also see the beauty of her wisdom. Of her wisdom. You see, when she went in before the king, he lowered the golden scepter. She got in. And she invited him and Haman, the man who was responsible for the decree against the Jews, to come to a banquet. And so they came. And in Esther chapter 5, verse 8, Esther said, "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said." In other words, she had a banquet of wine for him. King Ahasuerus and Haman both showed up at the banquet, and when the king asked for her request, she wasn't hasty. She said, "Come to the banquet that I prepare for you tomorrow, and I'll tell you my request." And so the king said he'd be delighted to. He did. And Haman was so excited because he was the only one that was going to be there that in the process of one more day, he destroyed himself. In other words, Esther decided to wait a day between the first banquet and the second banquet in order to give God time to work. Esther employed the wisdom of God to wait patiently for his divine intervention, and she was rewarded with success. You see, during that next night, Haman had consulted with his counselors and had decided that he was going to hang Mordecai because he couldn't stand him. And so he built a gallows 75 cubits high. Isn't that right? And decided that that gallows would be the place of Mordecai's death. 50 cubits high. 50 cubits high. Esther chapter 5, verse 14. I was thinking of 75 feet, since a cubit is approximately 18 inches, unless it's a larger cubit, which would be 22. So 50 cubits high. Mordecai was going to be hanged on it. I think that one of the reasons the king's sleep was interrupted the night between the first and second banquet was not only that God was providentially keeping the king awake. I believe that the construction of the gallows might have had something to do with it. That the very thing that Haman was doing to have Mordecai killed was the very thing that ended up having him killed, because it was in that night that the king learned that Mordecai was responsible for saving his life by disclosing a plan to have the king assassinated. And the next morning, the king decided to reward Mordecai and had Haman lead him through the whole town, the whole city, proclaiming that this is the way the king honors men that he desires to honor. It was Haman's idea that he be honored that way because Haman thought the honor was going to go to him. And it turned out to be his own destruction, because in the next banquet, Esther revealed to the king that Haman was the one responsible for the decree to kill all the Jews that would then have resulted in her own death. As a consequence, the king promoted Mordecai to Haman's room and had Haman hung on the very gallows that were built for Mordecai. An amazing, amazing part of history in the Bible. Now let me tell you, the world promotes and exploits the outward beauty of women, making you think that outward beauty is the most important part of a woman's character. And it's not. After studying Esther, we see that these five character traits, her virginity, her submissiveness, her modesty, her fear of God, and her wisdom, are more favorable in a woman than a woman's outward appearance. And I believe, with all of the attention paid to the outward appearance of women today, it's given you the idea that unless you have an outward appearance that is similar to what you're seeing displayed, that somehow or another you're not up to par. And I'm going to tell you, that's not true at all. Maintain your virginity, submissiveness, modesty, fear of God, and wisdom, and I promise you, you will find more favor and more praise and more honor with God than the most beautiful woman in the world.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.